following program is brought to you by friends and partners of End Time Headlines.
All right, what's up, guys? It is Tuesday, August the 1st. We want to welcome you to tonight's program. This is End Time Headlines. I'm your host, Ricky Scapparo, the founder and the voice of End Time Headlines. We want to welcome everyone to the program tonight. As always, if you're new to the program, this is your first time joining us, you've been invited in, somebody shared the link with you, whatever the case may be, let us know in the comment section below that you're new and where you guys are joining us from. Before we get started on tonight's topic, guys, do me a favor, hit that like button, hit that share button, and hit that little bell notification on whatever platform. If you're watching my Facebook Live, hit the like button, share this, YouTube, like, share, bell notification, Rumble, again, whatever platform you're on, hit the like button. That way it pushes our content out there in the algorithm on the particular platform in which you're watching this from. So I'm going to show you some topics tonight. I want to deal with the particular topic of it's a whole new world. And no, we're not talking about a Disney musical tonight. I'm talking about it's a whole new world. Maybe I'm probably not alone in this, but how many of you have probably over the past 10 years, you've sat down with your family, you've had conversation with your friends, maybe people in your church, whatever the case may be, and you talked about how much the world has changed. And we're talking about in every dynamic. We're talking about the culture. We're talking about in the music industry. We're talking about in the, and literally every sector, even in the church, like the whole world. And we're not just talking about America here tonight, guys. We're talking about the whole world is different. It is not the same as it was 10 years ago, 15 years, 20 years ago. And I understand that every generation goes through changes, but I'm talking about it is a vast night and day polar opposite change. And quite frankly, it's very easy to become very saddened about this. You go to places you used to shop, they're no longer there. You see the mentality of people that's changed. Society is on a decline. Morality is collapsing. Standards are no longer upheld. The church has no standard anymore. I mean, I'm telling you, everything from the church to society in itself has changed. Movies are not the same. Cartoons are not the same. The music is not the same. People are different. You go out, you go shopping, you go somewhere with your family, you go on vacation, whatever the case may be. And even, 10 years ago, 15 years, 20 years ago, just the way people carry themselves is different. Their attitudes are different. The spiritual climate is completely different. And I'm going to show you and give you proof today of what we're talking about. We're going to show you some articles. We're going to do some talking points. We're going to watch some videos together. But before we do that, I want to give you some scriptures because I want to remind you, because what I'm about to show you can sadden us. I don't want to use words like depress or depression. So I'm using the word sad or sadden. It's sad. But I want to give you some verses of scripture that remind us that this world as we know it is passing away. Let me show you these scriptures. 1 John chapter 2, verses 16 through 18. For you guys that are listening by Apple and by Spotify, that's our scriptural reference. For all that is in the world, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life. So it's right off the bat, John is telling us that what you see in the world is an open display of the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life. He tells you it's not of the Father, but it is of the world. But look what he says in verse 17, and the world is passing away. Somebody say, this world is passing away, and the lust of it. So the world is passing away, and the lust of it. Now, what is the lust of it? Again, the flesh, the eyes, and the pride of life. Things we see, things we feel, our emotions, things that drive us, things that influence. All this stuff is of the system of the world and operated and influenced by Satan, not of the Father. But this all is passing away. It's not going to be here forever. But he who does the will of God abides forever. Then we go to 2 Peter chapter 3, verses 10 through 12. And Peter says, but the day of the Lord will come as a thief in the night, in which the heavens will pass away. There's going to be a metamorphosis, this transformation. And it will happen with a great noise, and the elements will melt with fervent heat. Both the earth and the works that are in it will be burned up. God destroyed the earth of the first judgment through a great deluge of flood, but the second judgment will come through fire. Look what he says in verse 11. Therefore, since all these things will be dissolved, what manner of persons ought you to be, you and I, in holy conduct and godliness, looking for and hastening the coming of the day of God, because of which the heavens, plural tense, will be dissolved, being on fire, and the elements will melt with fervent heat. Again, the picture here, if you study this in the Greek, Peter is telling us there's going to be this great renovation. God himself will renovate the earth through fire, and he will make ready the new Jerusalem, which will come down out of heaven and will be the future abode of God and, come on, the sons and daughters of God in the great tabernacle of God. And then Peter also writes in his second epistle in verse 11, he says, beloved, I beg you as sojourners and pilgrims. Now, this is an interesting word, and it literally means, the phrase he's using here is a temporal resident. As sojourners and pilgrims, and our temporal residency here on earth, we should abstain from fleshly lust, we just went over that, which war against the soul, having your conduct honorable among the Gentiles, that when they speak against you as evildoers, they may, by your good works, which they observe, glorify God in the day of visitation. Again, what I really wanted to focus in on and home in on there in those two terms you use, sojourners and pilgrims, when you look at the just a basic definition of this, it's a temporal residency. So why did I just do this little mini devotional dealing with the earth is passing away, the lust of it, the culture, the society, the cares of life? All of this stuff is temporal. It's passing away, and that we're just passing through, and our citizenship is in heaven. I said all this because what I'm about to show you today can really sadden you, because it's giving more credence to the fact that, watch this, the world that we once knew is gone. That's why we've titled this, It's a Whole New World. Now, sadly, many of the young people don't understand this, because this is the world that we see now is the world that they have been born into. But I speak to my 15-year-old son, I speak to my 8-year-old son, and I try to explain that my 15-year-old son understands this a little bit better because he's 15 years old, and he remembers growing up and seeing some of the things that we kind of reminisce on and that are nostalgic that are no longer here and that's been done away with. But for my 8-year-old, the world that he sees now and that he's exposed to out there is the normal, and that's, and I hate to use this word again, but it's sad and it's terrifying, because they will never experience, can I just talk from a Western perspective? They will never experience the America that many of us and our parents and our grandparents and our great-grandparents grew up in. The country they served, that they shed their blood for, that they laid their lives down for, to give us the freedoms that we have today, that we're losing consistently. The basic understanding and principles of life are being destroyed. There is such madness and confusion and chaos and ancient spirits that were here on the earth, and it's been here since the fall of Lucifer, the demise of the watchers or the angels, the fall of Adam. Since that time, these demons have been on the earth and they've been influencing societies for thousands of years. So what we're seeing today with the characteristics and I'm going to use biblical terms here, the lasciviousness, the immorality, the sexual immorality, the wickedness that we're seeing in society today is nothing new under the sun. These are demonic spirits that were responsible for destroying the cities of the plains of Sodom and Gomorrah, for example. Because you're going to see some of this come out. So let's get right in. I know some of y'all wanted to see the articles. So I wanted to build a little bit of a foundation here for about 15 minutes. Now let's go into some of these insane headlines. And again, the reason why I wanted to show you those scriptures is because I want to remind you. When we start talking about this, don't get sad. Remember, Jesus said, when you begin to see all these things, look up, lift up your heads, because your redemption is drawing near, number one. Number two is you got to keep in mind, this is only temporary. This is not my permanent citizenship. My citizenship is with the Lord. It is with heaven, and it's with the new Jerusalem that's coming. Not this world that's passing away. Here we go. Drag queen artist tops Christian album chart on iTunes. Yes, that is not a typo, ladies and gentlemen. A drag queen artist has risen to the top of Christian genre on iTunes. And here is the drag queen artist right here on your screen. For the first time in history, an album released by a drag queen artist has topped the iTunes Christian chart. However, this landmark moment in drag queen history did not happen because of the album's grassroots appeal of its supposedly Christian themes. Instead, Flammy, I guess that's how you say this, Flammy Grant's album, that's a slam on Amy Grant, obviously. This album called Bible Belt Baby, which was actually released September of last year, topped the iTunes Christian chart in late July on account of a social media spat between Grant and Sean Foyt, who again is a more traditional Christian musician. Last Wednesday, Foyt took to X, formerly known as Twitter, to denounce a recent collaboration between Flammy Grant and established Christian artist Derek Webb. So Foyt was calling out this collaboration with this alleged Christian artist, Derek Webb, and with this, quote, transgender artist. Quote, this is what he said, "These are truly the last days." Now, you may not like Foyt, but I agree with what he said right here. Rebuking the so-called deconstruction movement, which encourages supposedly the alphabet community-oriented evangelicals to question or even disregard the conservative teachings of their youth. And if you're watching this, here is the actual tweet on your screen from Sean Foyt. "Flammy Grant, aka Matthew Blake, who grew up as an evangelical Christian, imagine that, and was even a worship leader for more than two decades, did not take kindly to Foyt's remark. In go, baby. We're just getting started," Grant said in response. Guys, this right here, I want you to take a long look at this. This paragraph that you're looking at on your screen, where is when this Blake individual grew up as an evangelical Christian, this is 1 Timothy chapter 4. This is the falling away, giving heed to seducing spirits and doctrines of devils. That is on full display right here. If you want to see a depiction of that, a picture of that, an example of that, there you go. Grant went to TikTok, where he enjoys a sizable following. Yes, he has a following. To ask his fans for help, he encouraged them to find his album, Bible Belt Baby. And I'm sure most of them people are professed Christians. that support this person. Okay? I'm sure they are. And then stream, not only does he, so he's telling him, find his album, stream the song Good Day in particular, so that the song would eventually reach the Christian charts, on iTunes. Quote, I personally am tired of Christian music being dominated by guys like Sean Foyt. Yeah, because we couldn't have guys that are actually singing praises to God and actually talking about living a lifestyle according to the Bible. I mean, who's not sick of that? I mean, we've got to get with society, we've got to get with culture, and we got to get with the times, don't we, guys? Quote, I think it's time for girls like us, I don't really know who he's referring to there, obviously, anyway, to have a shot at cracking the charts so that people who love Christian music but don't want to be in bed with the MAGA have an option. So he went political there. So I guess every person who calls himself a Christian and likes Christian music but don't disagree with transgenders in the Christian music genre, I guess you're just one of those MAGA supporters. As a result of this, not only had Good Day jumped to the number two on Christian songs on iTunes, again, guys, totally blows my mind. How's this even happening? Who is responsible for this? Who's allowing this to go on the charts? See, we want to point our fingers at this, but I got questions in regards to that. Listen, I'm tired. Can I go on my rant here for a second, just for 30 seconds? I'm so tired of, I don't hardly even listen to Christian radio stations anymore, because last year during October 31st, during Halloween, I got so sick of turning on a Christian radio station, and that's all they talked about was dressing up for Halloween and their costumes and taking their kids trick-or-treating and going to a Halloween party. And I said, good Lord in heaven, is this not a Christian radio station? Because I can't tell any difference. And I'm tired of every time I could turn on a Christian radio program or television or Christian radio station, excuse me, and yeah, Christian television as well, that there's no distinction between the world and quote Christianity. Christian radio stations, they talk about programs on Netflix that are rated R, and these DJs are all talking about how they love it and they're propagating it, they're supporting it. And I'm sitting here like, what? So am I shocked? Am I surprised that a transgender artist is number two on the Christian genre of iTunes on Apple? No, I'm not. Because we live in a whole new world. So as a result of this confrontation between this transgender and Sean Foyt, the song jumped to number two on the chart. Foyt responded saying that, indicated that God would have the final word on the matter. Quote, well, good for us. Hardly anyone listens or cares what you do, but bad for you is that one day you'll sit before Jesus and give an account for the perversion that you tried to force on kids. So this is all, you can go and look at the whole exchange on TikTok and Twitter and all that if you want to. Then there's this report coming out of the United Kingdom, where as an expert on law, who multiple times has testified before Congress on various legal disputes, says that the United Kingdom is now passing laws through their government that can make parents be arrested for not paying for, you ready for this? For their child's gender transition. Now I'm going to read a little bit of this. Again, this is from Prophecy News Watch. I'll share a little bit of this, a little excerpt from this. Then I'm going to show you another video where a very similar topic took place, and we'll show you that. According to this report, Jonathan Turley of George Washington University, who has written a column about what the government there is demanding of parents when their children say they are transgender. In his report, he said there's an interpretation that has been put forward by police in the United Kingdom, which provides that, listen to this, quote, parents who refuse to use the alternative pronouns for their children or refuse to pay for their transitioning could be criminally prosecuted. These transitioning treatments would include the administration of chemicals to sterilize a child for life and even surgical body mutilations. Now think about it. All this is going on, and listen to what he says here. Quote, as the debate rages in the United States over parental notification and authority in cases involving transgender children, the United Kingdom is embroiled in a controversy over a law that would not only limit parental authority in such cases, but affirmatively require parents to pay for their child's transition. Wow. He went on to note that according to the UK's Code for the Crown Prosecution Service, aka CPS, abusive conduct now includes withholding money for transitioning and refusing to use their preferred name or pronoun. So in other words, a parent that has a familial or religious objection to the transitioning of their child would be forced and required under the law in the United Kingdom to fund operations or treatments. Now, again, I know some people are going to listen. It's going to say, well, this is the United Kingdom. This is not the United States. Okay, well, we got a video for you.
Tonight over a trio of bills, some parents say push a, quote, transgender agenda. One of the bills would ensure a child's gender identity is included in child custody cases.
CBS 13's Andrew Hodner live at the Capitol breaking down the bill and the backlash.
Yeah, guys, so the bill in question is Assembly Bill 957, which essentially, when a judge is making a determination in the family court system about giving custody to one parent or another, one of the criteria included in the health, safety, and welfare of a child would be a parent's affirmation of a child's chosen identity. That's if this bill was...
Again, let that soak in.
Codified into law. Opponents say that if a parent does not affirm their child's identity, they can be charged with child abuse. But the bill's author says that that's a misconception, and this bill is solely about helping marginalized groups.
Or so they say.
AB 957 is a bill that will now elevate not affirming your child's gender identity, whatever gender identity they choose.
Parents told stories of lost custody, citing gender affirmations and identity as a cause.
I will support him in who he is. This is not my issue.
And expressed concern over the bill's supposed scope.
That means judges will have no ability to use their discretion.
Assemblymember Lori Wilson, the author of AB 957, explains that affirmations don't take higher precedent in a judge's determination.
We are giving our judges tools by which to measure health, safety, and welfare.
And plans to address unintended consequences in committee, such as the potential weaponization of kids in heated custody fights.
This is not intended to create a sliding scale for our parents who are affirming their children.
But Wilson stresses that this is not forcing ideology on people.
And so it should be one of the factors, not the factor.
And that no one is under attack with this bill.
No one is out to get your kids. No one is out to force your kids to be anything.
So no one's out. Right. So just everyone, nothing to see here, folks. Everyone can sleep tight tonight. Meanwhile, in Canada,
Canadian police arrested a father last week for violating a court order that banned him from speaking out about his daughter's gender transition. Here now to talk with us more about that is Dan Andros of FaithWire.com. So, Dan, how did this court order come about?
Yeah, well, Ephraim, in January of last year, this Canadian father went to court after learning his daughter was undergoing hormone therapy to transition to a boy. The child whose name has been protected and not used claims to have been exploring this transition since before she was a teen. Now, the family has had some personal issues. The mother and father had split, and she was beginning to hang out with some kids at school that the father said were a bad influence, and she was getting into trouble. But perhaps most disturbing in all of this, the school counselor had changed the child's name without even telling the father. And the
wow.
school socially transitioned the biologically female child on its own initiative with the input of a gender ideologue psychologist there at the school. And so when he went to court, then the judge ruled that the father couldn't use the new pronouns of the preferred pronouns of this child.
Again, insanity. And again, and if you think they're not doing this in America, guys, they are. Wake up. We've reported on this. This is happening in certain states where the school systems are not contacting and giving information to the parents and informing them of their child's transitions. They're keeping them in the dark.
What did the judge tell this father?
Yeah, so the BC Court of Appeals ruled that the father couldn't voice that opposition, as I mentioned.
Wow.
And the Chief Justice there said the dad's refusal to accept his teenage daughter's choices was troublesome, adding that his failure to fully endorse his kid's desire for irreversible transgender treatments had caused the minor significant pain that had resulted in a rupture of what both parties refer to as an otherwise loving parent-child relationship. So they seemed more disturbed about the father's response to this than the child's transition.
Wow.
And we understand this child started identifying as a male at age 11 and is now 15. What led to the decision?
Yeah, so as I had mentioned, those family problems had manifested themselves, and so she was seeing a school counselor. Now, during those counseling sessions, that's when the father later learned that the child had been shown these videos that he said amounted to nothing more than gender propaganda videos. And so it was through the watching of...
And again, this is in Canada. And so you're telling me they're not doing this in America? They are doing this in America. Again, look at all the literature of propaganda, videos, books, novelties, literature, assignments that's being pushed out there on children. Look what Disney's doing. Look what all these industries are doing. What do you think they're doing? They're pushing this propaganda to target our children.
These videos and the guidance of the school counselors and the gender ideologues that they sort of push this, according to the father, on the child. And that's what sort of led to this desire to transition.
What's been the father's response to all of this?
Well, the father is devastated, and he has maintained that he's not going to you know, cave and call his daughter a boy or he. And so he's been staying firm on that, and he really says that it's dangerous, that these are irreversible decisions. He said she can never go back to being a girl in the healthy body that she should have had. She's going to forever have a lower voice. She'll forever have to shave because of facial hair. She won't be able to have children. The father has accused the government of, quote, state-sponsored child abuse.
Just so sad, guys. So tragic and sad. And again, this is what I was talking about. I warned you in the beginning of this, the world that we knew is gone. It's a whole new world. You didn't hear about this stuff 10 years ago, 15 years ago, 20 years ago, 30 years ago. This is the new reality. This is the new world that we live in. All right, now let's go back to California. Because again, that's United Kingdom, that's Canada. But is this really coming to America, Brother Ricky? Let's watch this.
Election, the California State Senate today discussing an amendment to a bill that would make parents guilty of child abuse if they don't affirm their child's gender identity. Critics say it would lead to children being taken away from a parent in a custody dispute. The bill's author describing it this way.
If you have a seven-year-old who's talking about they believe that they are not the same gender as they are biologically, then it should be affirmed. By saying and rejecting it in wholesale, then you're essentially rejecting your child.
7 years old? Really? This is ridiculous. A seven-year-old cannot make these decisions, guys. This makes me mad. This makes me angry. I have an eight-year-old. An eight-year-old cannot make these kind of decisions. This is absolutely absurd. It's ridiculous. And I can't believe we're having these conversations. And I can't believe these legislators and these leaders and these government officials can make these kind of decisions. This is absolutely outlandish.
Now, critics say there's not a one-size-fits-all when it comes to all of this. Let's listen.
My concern is that as a policy, we're stating that it's always in their best interest, regardless of what the situation is. And that's what I'm struggling with, that a seven-year-old may not know exactly what they're dealing with.
You think?
In Ohio, lawmakers are considering a bill that would require public schools to notify parents before teaching sexuality content and allow them to opt out of that content. We're going to talk about Ohio. We're going to talk about California. Julia Manchester, national political reporter from The Hill, with me right now. Julia, the author of this bill, the woman we just heard, she has a transgender child, so she has a vested interest in this.
Of course.
The co-sponsor of the bill, Scott Wiener, also a Democrat, very polarizing. Would voters have any say in this?
Look, I mean, I think those legislators who are drafting that bill would say that voters have say because they were elected by these voters. And, you know, they would say they're listening to their constituents and such. However, I think moving into 2024, we are seeing that this is becoming a defining issue, really.
Here we go again. 2024. It just keeps coming up. Honestly, guys, I'm not trying to say the Lord said here. And I'm not saying that. And the Lord, I'm just saying, just by common knowledge and wisdom, just by everything that I've seen and researched and I have in front of me, next year, 2024 is going to be intriguing. It's going to be interesting. And there is a lot of events that are coinciding together. We have a major solar eclipse happening. We have political things happening. We have an election cycle that's happening. We have wars and rumors of wars. We have agendas that are trying to be passed through the United Nations and the World Economic Forum and the CDC and the World Health Organization. So,
particularly in the Republican presidential primary and a number of Republican primaries down ballot, they are talking about this broader issue of what they say is parents' rights and how it impacts children when it comes to education or when it comes to this issue of transitioning if they are transgender. So you're going to hear that debate more on the Republican side. Democrats, though, are very much on the other side of this issue. So it's becoming extremely polarizing. I think it's interesting to see that you have these two different state laws in California and Ohio, one with a Republican-led state legislature, the other with a Democratic state legislature. So we're seeing this issue really fall along party lines.
Wouldn't this kind of a bill, the one in California, presume or assume that every child who questions their sexuality could be endangered and threatened by their parents? How can this be codified?
Look, I mean, I'm, you know, particularly not an expert in this area, but in terms of the political ramifications of it, look, I mean, if it's codified, that means that the state legislature will, you know, vote it in the law, and then Governor Gavin Newsom will sign it into law. We know that California is majority Democratic.
So look, guys, it's not just California, but it's Ohio, California and Ohio. And again, we know that it starts small and it'll begin to spread and go nationwide. Now, if you don't think that this spirit that's behind this is just spreading its tentacles throughout the entire nation, did you see where there was a report that this was from the dailymail.com, quote, almost half of millennials think that misgendering a transgender individual should be a criminal offense.
According to a Newsweek poll, some millennials want to make misgendering a crime. Out of 1,500 eligible voters polled, 44% of millennial respondents said referring to someone by the wrong gender pronoun, he, him, she, her, should be a criminal offense. Among all survey respondents, just 19% said that misgendering should be criminalized. 65% said it should not be criminalized.
Those surveyed were not asked what punishment should be to those who use the wrong pronouns. Similar sentiments were found among those ages 35 and 44. And that group, 38%, appeared to be in favor of criminalizing misgendering someone, while 35% were against it. So again, let me say this again, from this survey of millennials, 44% said, yes, it should be a criminal offense. 25% said, I don't know, whatever. And 31% said no. Then we move, want to go back over to the United Kingdom, where there was a report where a Christian council member was suspended for a tweet that they tweeted calling pride a sin. According to the report, a local council member in Britain is taking legal action after allegedly being suspended by the Conservative Party over a social media post to claim that pride is not a virtue but a sin. Here's more on that.
Taking legal action after his life was shattered for sharing a tweet and biblical views about LGBTQ pride events. Seven organizations canceled Counselor King LaWall, and the Conservative Party suspended him. He's also facing a possible police investigation and threats of suspended contracts.
Police investigation for simply having an opinion on pride? Really? Wow. Unbelievable, guys. Again, I know this is United Kingdom, but this is happening in America. This is coming here, whether you like it or not, whether you want to believe it or not. You could keep your head buried in the sand. You could keep unaware of this. I know most pastors ain't talking about this. Church people ain't talking about this. We have these echo chambers that we've created in the church today where people are just either getting up and hooting and hollering and shouting and flapping towels around, and they have their sweat towels and they're just up there hooting and hollering and making a bunch of noise, but nobody's warning people of anything that's going on. It's like it's dead silence when it comes to warning people about these things that are happening.
All for sharing a tweet that said, quote, "Pride is not a virtue, but a sin. Those who have pride should repent of their sins and turn to Jesus Christ. He can save you." And LaWall quoted Isaiah 3:9.
And think about that. This right here on your screen is what this man tweeted. Everything he said was biblical. Pride is sinful. The Bible talks about that. Proverbs chapter 6, these six things, yea, seven things I hate, saith the Lord. Pride is one of them. Pride is what got Lucifer thrown out of heaven. He talks about repenting of sins and turning to Christ. He quotes Isaiah chapter 3. I'm telling you, this was the perfect concoction to stir up every devil in the United Kingdom, apparently. And the response of this is unbelievable.
Well, joining us from the UK to explain what has happened to him since he was posted that tweet is Counselor King LaWall. King, it's good to talk with you. So Groundwork Northampton, which is an organization that helps disadvantaged kids access green spaces, removed you as a trustee. And the Northampton Healthcare Foundation, their trust removed you as governor. So what did each group say to you about your dismissal?
Right. Well, thank you for first of all having me on the show. It's been a bit of a whirlwind. But so what happened initially was, yes, Groundwork Northamptonshire essentially emailed me after 2 years relationship with them. I was a trustee on their board. I've supported them through a lot of different changes in the charity, but also to expand it and increase the awareness of it. They've come to my offices. I have personal relationships with them. They emailed me quite brutally and just said, because of the tweets, I must resign effective immediately from my post as a trustee member. And then after that, it was I was suspended by the party. By the local group, Conservatives, the leader calls me up and says that I must, I must be suspended for 21 days. I asked why, what's the reason for the 21-day suspension? Apparently, I can be suspended based on their prerogative for 21 days with no reason whatsoever. So that was quite shocking.
Tell us, what prompted your tweet in the first place? That was a pro-LGBTQ pride tweet? What specifically prompted it?
So it was about 7 a.m. in the morning. I was scrolling down Twitter. I don't usually tweet, but I do like to see what's going on. Calvin Robinson, he's a presenter on GB News. He was posting some of the pride marches and some of the things that were going on. They were overly sexualized scenes and images and videos of, you know, naked men, perverse scenes with children watching. And it really did just cause me to, I felt a bit disgusted because of the children, namely. And I got a bit of a righteous anger within me. And I thought, right, I'm not.
Look at that. So that's not offensive. That can be posted. That can be displayed. Nothing's done about that. No arrest of indecent exposure. None of that. But this man How dare him speak out against it, have an opinion, post a scripture, call people to repent and turn to Jesus. Oh, that crosses the line. That's just going too far right there. That calls for you to be canceled. That calls for you to be suspended. That calls for a criminal prosecution. So again, a whole new world. This is the new world that we live in.
I'm not going to be silent. I'm going to take to Twitter and say something about this. And that's why I'm
God bless you, sir.
Pride.
Thank you.
When did pride become a thing to celebrate? And you've already mentioned the tweet in itself, the rest of it. But ultimately, I just wanted to say something and stand up for the truth. And that's all I did. But really what prompted me was seeing these really, really verse scenes on these marches and wondering why these things are allowed to sort of go ahead.
Right.
Why are they not illegal during Pride Month? It seems to be a month of... illegal things allowed to happen, but any other month with those sorts of things that were going on there, people would have been arrested. So it was quite shocking to me, and that's what prompted the tweet.
So how do you view all this? Is it an affront against your free speech rights?
As Bible-believing Christians, there's been erosion of our rights, and it's now escalated. So the minority their rights come before the majority, and particularly for Bible-believing Christians, we can't speak anymore. We can't even sort of hold and express our views in the ways that we want to because of a fear of being cancelled and lives being ruined. And in the UK, there's been bank accounts being closed and all sorts for expressing such views.
Bank accounts being closed for expressing their convictions as Christians. Guys, I'm telling you, this is coming to America. Are you ready? Are you prepared? Is your church prepared? Is your pastor warning you about this? Or is he giving you these fluffy, cotton candy-coated sermonettes? That's the question. Because I'm telling you, there's going to be a lot of people that are not prepared for this because they don't hear it. They're not being warned about this stuff that's coming down the pike. Now, of course, the progressive, passive, lukewarm Christians and pastors and leaders that never preach on sin, that never take a stand for righteousness, preach on holiness, preach on right living, preach against immorality or any of this stuff, they don't have to worry about it because they won't be bothered. Let's move on. Here's another one. Father urges the church to step in as a religious school. And I use parentheses here. Religious school is teaching children they can be born into a wrong body. Now look at the oxymoronic headline of this. A religious school that teaches on the premise of God is teaching children that they can be born into the wrong body, implying that God made a mistake. A concerned father is urging the chief education officer of the Church of England to take action over allegedly inappropriate and explicit sex education lessons in his child's church school. The identified parent appealed to the Reverend Nigel Genders after claiming the unnamed Church of England school in Norfolk, England is utilizing materials that teach children as young as 7 years of age that they can be born in the wrong body. Could you imagine your child in this school and them teaching them this? Also, according to the report, the materials also encourage young students to participate in simulated same-sex weddings. Well, gee, this isn't propaganda at all, is it? The anonymous father reportedly expressed his concern about the curriculum to the school and an independent review board, but his concerns were not addressed. The parent went on to reportedly ask the Church of England to step in and explain why such a curriculum was being promoted at a Church of England school. I mean, really? The Church of England? It's not like they have these great moral standards either. Have you seen some of the teachings and the doctrine and theology that's coming from the Church of England these days? All right, here we got another video. Watch this.
A family can be made up in many different ways. It's called SOGI, for Sexual Orientation and Gender Identification, a curriculum that teaches public school students across Canada to celebrate the homosexual lifestyle and that gender is fluid. In other words, your gender is not dependent on what parts you were born with, but rather what you feel like in the moment.
There's people that are boys, there's people that are girls. There are people whose gender might be a little bit of both, or might even be neither.
Lessons include books about transgender children, such as 10,000 Dresses, and songs like The Rainbow Song.
Gender won't decide the choices we make. Some boys like dressing up, some girls like catching snakes.
The SOGI curriculum started in British Columbia in 2016 and is quickly spreading throughout Canada.
I just thought, who decided that this was okay to teach our children?
Author and inspirational speaker Laura Lynn Tyler Thompson is a leading voice against the SOGI curriculum.
And we are seeing the results of that now because some kids are reacting very emotionally and saying, you know, and they're in fear. Will I be, you know, will I suddenly struggle with feeling like a different gender inside of my body?
No. Carrie Simpson of Culture Guard, another leading opponent, calls the curriculum nothing short of child abuse.
All those beautiful qualities that make young girls, beautiful girls and women, are being basically vilified. The things that make our boys, boys, are being, you know, taken from them. So things of equating young men to being strong protectors is something that's now evil.
But Morgan O'Shea, a transsexual and supporter, claims it's about acceptance, not indoctrination.
The idea is to teach kids that there are gay kids and there are trans kids and there are trans parents and gay parents in our society and everybody's wanted and desired. After all, that's what our human rights code says, and it's the role of schools to teach the following of our laws, right?
To seven-year-olds? I don't think a 7- and 8-year-old needs to know this stuff. I'm just saying, this is unbelievable.
Simpson disagrees, saying she sees SOGI's real goal as
altering our culture from a heteronormative society into one where anything goes, no boundaries,
bingo,
no values, no morals. It's a hedonistic cult, basically what they're implying.
Another blaring example, drag queen story time. It's happening in Canada and America, where some public schools and libraries invite drag queens. Some dress like...
And again, why? Why do we need this in school? How does this pertain to a child's education? I don't get it. I know, I'm just so out of touch. Brother Ricky, you're just so out of touch. You're just old school. You don't understand. No, I don't understand. Because again, let me go to the world that once was when we used to take our children and we send them to schools to educate them. You know, we paid our taxes. We paid, and I'm going to talk about your tax dollars going to use in public schools in America in just a moment. But our tax dollars used to be paid for these teachers to educate our children in the areas in which they need for life skills to gain knowledge, to be able to go forward and make a productive citizen of society. But I guess it doesn't matter anymore, right? None of that matters. It doesn't matter about arithmetic anymore. It doesn't even matter about their skills in learning, grammar, history, none of this. This is what matters.
Like horned demons to read to young children.
And it's a social deconstructionist agenda. They're using children, little five-year-olds, to accomplish this. And parents are waking up and saying no.
When asked about parents' rights, O'Shea says,
well, actually, in Canada, parents' rights are limited and children's rights are put ahead. So the child has a right to be protected from the parents when the parents behave badly.
Canada is known as...
Behave badly? Yeah, when the parents behave badly by not accepting this stuff, then you're a bad parent. And we all know the repercussions of that because we just went over that earlier. There'll be consequences if you're a, quote, bad parent.
It's one of the most gay-friendly countries in the world, with many of their largest cities featuring their own gay villages, like here in Vancouver, which has literally rolled out the Rainbow Road.
Most gays, like Village resident Dave Davy DiCarlo, support Soji and limiting parental rights.
Well, duh.
The change that we have to see is sometimes the parents and the kids are doing...
Is this Willy Wonka? I'm just saying.
...actually really okay.
This is very scary stuff.
Longtime Vancouver area pastor Kevin Cavanaugh says this is far more serious than most Canadian Christians realize.
Our problem is not the teachers, the educators, the administrators. This is a battle in the heavenlies.
He says Satan is going after their most vulnerable, the children.
And exactly. The little girl came home in tears because the teacher had told her, since she was playing with some toys in the class that were deemed to be masculine in nature, that she was likely a boy in a girl's body.
Wow.
The mother went to the school the very next day, and instead of having any sort of tolerance or support or understanding, she was actually called names. She was told that she was a homophobe, that she was a bigot.
With that in mind, Tyler Thompson, Simpson, and Pastor Kevin are spreading their message across social media and in town hall meetings. The pro-gay backlash has been fierce.
So you got all this stuff going on with the West, and you've got all this stuff going on, and it's just growing and growing. Meanwhile, I thought this was interesting. You have Putin, who just signed a law to ban gender change surgery in Russia. It's interesting. Russia is deemed the bad guy, but here Putin is standing up with a law banning this stuff. And then you had this story. This was ridiculous too. Christian school teachers. Remember, it's a Christian school. Okay? So you would think that the teachers of the Christian school would have a standard, that it would look something like the Bible. I know it's asking a lot, isn't it? But they were recently fired. Why were they fired? Because they went to a drag queen show and displayed it openly in videos on social media, on Facebook.
Two Baytown teachers are without a job tonight. This was after they attended a drag show in downtown Houston.
The educators worked at the Baytown Baptist Academy. Pooja Lodia explains why administrators at the school decided to fire them.
Christy Maris calls her first drag show a blast.
Her she first drag show.
These photos and videos on Facebook the next day. Then the phone call came.
I feel like we were treated like criminals.
After 19 years at First Baptist Academy in Baytown, Maris was fired. Her coworker was too. And according to the school's senior pastor, it's all because of this line in the school operating policies manual.
I mean, how absurd of the pastor to actually call for a moral standard for his employees. What was he thinking? What was he thinking in actually asking that his employees would act in a godly and moral fashion at work on Facebook and in the community? I 100% stand by this pastor. If I pastored a brick and mortar church again, like I used to, I did many years ago, and I had people on my staff, on my worship team, my praise team, a deacon, an elder, an associate, whatever. If I knew that they were doing this, they were out at the bar getting drunk, they were going to the events like this, they would not be on staff with me. They would not be a part of our church in leadership in any form or fashion, because I actually have a standard. This is unbelievable. And of course, the pastor's being demonized because he fired them and they knew the policy. Let's read on here or watch this.
I will act in a godly and moral fashion at work, on Facebook, and in my community. Maris had agreed to the clause, but didn't realize she was breaking it by going to a drag show.
They're entertainers.
Now, how sad is that? What does that testify to this so-called Christian? Where do I even go with this? I find it unbelievable that people call themselves Christians and they have no discernment. They can watch whatever, they can do whatever, they can smoke whatever, they can drink whatever, they can live with whatever, sleep with whatever, they can do whatever they want as far as what the world looks like. But hey, I'm a Christian. I don't see anything wrong with it. It's just entertainment. It's just a little social drinking. Oh, I'm going to, listen, I'm going to lose a few of you right here. I'm going to skim the herd a little bit. Does anybody still have a standard anymore and live by the Bible? I know the world we used to live in is gone. It's over. It's not here anymore. In out there and in the church is not the same anymore.
No, I would have never thought. I mean, we were in disbelief. I mean, we still are. I mean, we're heartbroken. You know, we had relationships with parents and the kids. And I didn't even get to say bye to a lot of the kids.
Maris was a physical education teacher. So dedicated.
Geez, shock.
To her job.
So this would be one that would advocate all the nonsense that we just talked about earlier on the program.
That she had gone back to school several years ago for an extra certification. She's also a devout Christian.
What do you hope you
can Baloney.
Learn from this? To love everybody equally.
A devout Christian is not going to go to this. Wow, unbelievable, guys, unbelievable.
Because, you know, that was my son, I would love him. It wouldn't matter to me, you know, as long as he's happy.
Well, wow. Long as he's happy. Again, this is the epitome of the church today. Do what thou will and do whatever you want. Do whatever makes you happy. It doesn't matter what the Bible says. It doesn't matter what the Bible says is sin, what the Bible calls immorality, what the Bible calls adultery, what the Bible calls wicked. If it makes you happy, then it's okay. Now, I know we're going a little bit longer than we normally do, but we've got a lot to cover tonight. So I hope you can bear with this. Remember when I was telling you about earlier that our tax-paying dollars, you know, people send their children to public schools. We pay for that. We assume that our tax dollars are going for the schools to pay for our children's education. Here you go. In Phoenix, your taxpayer dollars will be to help fund a school for, quote, queer children that will be opening this summer, funded by tax-paying dollars.
Frankly, 6th, 7th, and 8th grade were some of the hardest years for me. I had changed schools every single school year.
Fitting in was hard for Nate Roten when he was a kid.
Today, if I were in junior high, I would love to be able to live my full, authentic self.
As the CEO of 1 in 10, an advocacy group for the LGBTQ+ youth, his goal is to offer a safe space for middle school students, one he never had. Inside the nonprofit's youth center is the new queer blended learning center where students will learn from a curriculum built by Spark Community Schools.
Specifically, culturally responsive curriculum in civics and LGBT history, just making sure we're telling stories from every angle, from every perspective and point of view.
Traditional subjects like science, math, and reading are also included.
And then, at the end of the day,
that's good to hear. I'm glad that they're including those. I mean, you know, we still need those. I mean, do we really need that? I'm just saying.
Frankly, 6, 7.
Youth off one learning center where school.
We're telling stories.
Traditional subjects like science, math, and reading are also included.
And then, at the end of the day, we end with project-based learning, which is something that has been proven to take what you learn in those core subjects and really make it relevant.
Because this is a micro school, the teacher-student ratio is 1 to 12. Parents can also tap into the state's universal voucher program to cover tuition.
Our tuition is what that voucher amount is, so that it is available to any parent. It is not above that. There should be no out-of-pocket cost to the family.
It's all about creating that space where they can just be the best version of themselves.
Well, a school district in Virginia is making the space because they just spent $11 million on transgender restrooms for students. So, I mean, how much? So they're going so far to making a space to actually, I mean, what's next? We're going to build an entire school? We'll just do away with traditional school and just make this, you know, the alphabet school, whatever. And by the way, they already have law and they're, this stuff is so inundated in society that they've even made, there's governments making laws outside the United States, in the United States, where in which you try to, you get on social media and you turn, let's say you turn from this lifestyle and you want to testify and you want to try to help other people, then you can actually get into a lot of trouble. For example, in Malta, an ex-gay man could face jail time and massive fines. Why? For what? What heinous crime did he commit that he could face jail time and massive fines? He got delivered from his lifestyle and turned to Jesus Christ. And because he shared his journey on how Jesus delivered him from this lifestyle, now he's facing consequences.
Matthew, thanks for joining me again. We wanted to pick up with your story, and there may be some people out there who don't know the story, but you are in court right now in Malta, where you live, and you're in court for a very interesting reason, could face jail time. Tell us a little bit about how we got here. What's the backstory?
Right. Thank you, Billy. My pleasure. So, yeah, essentially, this goes back a few months now, where last year I was invited to share my story on a program and answer questions about so-called conversion practices. And I mentioned an organization as well that supports men and women who leave LGBT, and an organization that promotes biblical sexuality. And it just happened that a few days after, or a few weeks, very few weeks, three people reported me to the police in Malta, claiming that I was breaching chapter 5, 6, 7 of Maltese law, which says you cannot advertise so-called conversion practices.
There we go.
And please note, advertising was not defined in the same law at the time, because now if you had to look it up, you can find a clause about advertising, which was added later because of this legal case.
Of course.
Because the opposition were feeling like they couldn't find any loopholes, you know, to trap us. But anyway, the point is that, you know, I had to go to the police and I exercised my right to be silent, and the police pressed charges against me.
Wow.
And it's been two hearings so far. We're on to the third one this month, on the 24th of July. And it just happens that, you know, if I'm found guilty, I could spend 5 months in jail, or I could, you know, pay a fine of up to 5,000 euros in Malta just for really exercising my freedom to be a Christian and to support others who want to move away from unwanted LGBT identities or desires, etc. So, yeah, that's the situation.
All right, guys. So, again, the reason why I put those scriptures at the beginning of this segment is because when you hear these stories, and we discuss these stories, and we talk about these topics, it puts this heaviness on you, because you're like, Lord, please come back. Please deliver us. My friends, I'm telling you, there's some things we have to accept. We have to accept that the world we once knew is gone. The Bible says it is passing away. It's going to become, listen, I don't care what the latest Christian author says that's popular, or the Christian television speaker that says it's popular, that sold his books are on the New York Times bestselling. He's the pat you on the back. Every day's a Friday. It makes you feel good. All this stuff. If I had that, I would throw that straight in the trash can, because here's the reality. The reality is, things are not going to get better. The world is only going to get darker. It's only going to become more oppressive. And ministries like this, watchmen like myself, our mandate is to prepare the bride of Christ. Paul said we are waging warfare. The Bible, Paul wrote in one of his writings, he says, a good soldier does not entangle himself with the affairs of this life. My friend, the world is passing away. And I'm going to go back to this scripture. Therefore, in 2 Peter 3:11, therefore, since all these things will be dissolved, what manner of persons ought you and I to be in holy conduct and godliness looking for and hastening the coming of the day of God, because of which the heavens will be dissolved, being on fire, and the elements will melt with fervent heat. Friend, if you're watching this, you're listening today, you're in any kind of sin, you're in any kind of bondage, you're backslid, you're away from God, I ask that the Holy Spirit of God right now will invade that camera, invade this program, and He would draw you to repentance. Repent of your sins. Today is the day of salvation. It's the day is nigh, it is near, it is now. Don't put off tomorrow what you need to do today, for we do not know what tomorrow shall bring. And again, I'm telling you, all this stuff that you see around you, the culture, everything that's going on right now, this is going to pass away. The devil may be making a lot of noise right now, but God always has the final word. And we know, prophetically speaking, that everything is accelerating, everything is wrapping up, and that the Lord is about to split that eastern sky. And we, knowing this, we got to know what manner of persons we ought to be in holiness and godliness, preparing ourselves and our household to be ready and not be found naked and ashamed at His coming, in Jesus' name. Come on, let me pray for you real quick. Father, in the name of Jesus, I pray for every individual that's watching, that's listening today to this program. I pray that we would repent. I pray that we would get right with You, that we would renounce these things of compromise, these things that are turning away that are turning us away from You, leading us astray, causing us to be lukewarm and passive. Lord, if we've embraced progressive Christianity, if we've embraced and we've accepted and we've tolerated those things which the God of the Bible, the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, the Lord Jesus Christ, is defined as sin and iniquity and unrighteousness and abominable. Lord, if we have embraced these things, we repent of these things, we renounce these things, and we turn from these things in Jesus' mighty name. Father, You said if we believe on You, You said if we believe in our heart and confess with our mouth that Jesus Christ died and rose again from the grave, that we shall be saved. We receive this today and we walk in it today in Jesus' mighty name. Guys, again, do me a favor, hit that like button, hit that share button, hit that push notification so that you can be ready to go on all these platforms. And again, if you've not downloaded our free app, it is available free on Apple and Android devices. Download it, hit yes to push notifications, and you're going to be ready to go. And as always, if you'd like to support this ministry, it is a source of information, revelation, equipping, and teaching on a week-to-week basis. You can give two different ways. You can support, you can partner. One is through the app, all the way to the bottom, click right there where it says donate, or you can give right there on your screen by check or money order, and you can make that out to End Time Headlines, P.O. Box 1391, that's Monroe, Georgia 30655. As always, guys, we want to thank you for taking the time to be a part of our program and supporting our ministry and your partnership and your prayers. Listen, we're going to sign off tonight. We will be off tomorrow, Wednesday, August 2nd, but we'll be right back here on the 3rd of August on Thursday, 7 p.m. Central, 8 p.m. Eastern, with another great program. Listen, I've got about two or three messages that I'm working on, so we've got some equipping messages coming on deck, ready to come. So be watching for them. We may push one out this Thursday. If not Thursday night, we know Friday night we will for sure. So either way, be watching for those. Until then, may the Lord bless you. May He keep you, and may His countenance shine upon you. We'll see you soon.
Thank you for listening to the End Time Headlines podcast. We pray that you've been blessed and equipped by today's message. For more information about how you can help partner with our ministry, please visit endtimeheadlines.org.